Hi, and welcome back to We're Not Your Typical. Today we have on the show Hayley,
a personal stylist and a mother to an 18-year-old son who has ADHD and autism. Today she talks about the goods, the bads, the struggles, and her journey so far. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Hello.
How are we?
Good, thank you.
So we have the lovely Hayley with us today. Hayley is going to share her story about her son, who is now 18. I thought it would be a really good idea to have someone that has had the journey that we're currently living in. The goods, the bads, the uglies. We don't know yet, but...
Yeah, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Yeah. But fill us in. Tell us a bit about your son and share your journey, how it's been for you.
Okay, so he's 18 and a half. High-functioning autistic. Well, I say high-functioning autistic, it's now ASD, isn't it?
Yeah.
But going back 18 years, well, he was diagnosed at 3, it was autism, Asperger's. So his ASD and severe ADHD, learning difficulties, dyslexia, multitude, but, you know, it's a spectrum.
And the list goes on.
The list goes on. So going back to school, should I tell you about when he started?
I'd love to actually know further down, like at the beginning. So you already got a diagnosis quite early.
Yeah.
So what were the signs and things that you were seeing in order for that to
It was playing on his own, didn't recognise his name, didn't recognise colours. I got called into nursery the first week he was there. Mrs. Bloom, can I talk to you? And I was like, oh God, has he been naughty? You know how that was, like, seriously, has he been naughty? And she said, a little bit concerning. He doesn't recognise his colours, doesn't recognise his name, playing on his own after a week. And I was like, he's my first kid. I was like, and?
Yeah.
He's a baby. He's youngest of the year.
What age was he at this point?
3.
So he went to nursery at three.
He hit his milestones. When he was born, he couldn't have liquids. So his speech was a bit delayed. And he aspirated, so it went into his lungs. So when he was 2, he started to have liquids again. So in that sense, he was a bit delayed. But other than that, he crawled on time. He walked on time. He spoke, totally verbal. But he had that barrier where he didn't hold eye contact. He couldn't form friendships. He wanted to play on his own, but he was happy.
Yeah.
And in my head, he's happy. What are you talking about? So that was that. And then they basically suggested I went to the doctor. Went to the doctor and actually very lucky got into CAMS straight away.
Wow.
Wouldn't be like lucky. That.
Does not happen.
It wouldn't be like that today.
Didn't mean the help was always there, but I was very lucky. I got a diagnosis. And they diagnosed with ADHD first and said that he was on the spectrum and they wanted to do the autism test. And I was like, no.
Wait, I have to stop you because this is so different for us now. ADHD diagnosis at 3.
ADHD diagnosis at 3.
They literally will completely just shove you
didn't
away.
Didn't medicate him until he was 7.
Okay.
But she said, you can see by his eyes, his manicness, he's...
And this was all through the NHS?
All through NHS.
Through CAMS?
Through CAMS.
Wow. Yes. So it's very different today.
Very different.
Yeah. I guess I was lucky back then, but I didn't know I was lucky.
Yeah, of course.
Wasn't always lucky. I just poo-pooed the idea of autism. Literally. Yeah.
Did you know anything about autism?
Absolutely nothing except for Rain Man.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
That's what we all hear. Literally.
And now there's still a lot of, did I say naive? Is that rude?
Yeah, no.
A lot of naive people out there that even don't understand ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They think that ADHD is naughty, naughty. So when I kind of, when he was 5 and he was at he went to a primary school.
Mainstream.
She exactly the same. They basically said, "We really think there's something not quite right here." And I said, "Well, they've said that they think he's got ADHD," So where was going with this? So
school thought that they had ADHD.
School thought they had ADHD, and then the learning difficulties and it all fell into place.
Yeah.
So they put him on meds when he was 7, but from the age of 7, even though he was on meds, he then started to recognise he was different.
So early on.
And the meltdowns got worse and he was having 6-hour meltdowns.
Wow.
He was holding it in at school.
Masking.
Letting it out at home, eating me up, taking doors off the hinges.
At age 7?
At age 7. And he had a proper breakdown at 8. And it was, I think, because he thought it wasn't normal. He knew it.
Yeah.
So he was high functioning enough that he
That he was different.
Yeah, and he wanted friends. And it was really hard. And actually, I was watching other podcasts and talking about friendships and families. And I'm a very sociable person, but nobody got it and nobody involved us.
Yeah.
It was really difficult.
I remember you saying to me, actually, when I came round, when I first realised that Bailey Beau was diagnosed, and you actually said to me, like, that people didn't want to socialise with you guys.
Mm. They always said, you know, they were worried about him. He wasn't hectic. He was manic. So he'd touch things. He wasn't running around people's couches and, you know, like my husband was doing when he was a child. He was manic. He was touching stuff and he was busy. But it was heartbreaking. So it made a divide between me and some of my friends because I didn't feel included. It was very difficult.
Yeah, I feel you.
My daughter's also autistic and she's my first child. So we're in the same boat here. It'll be really interesting for you to tell us when you started noticing signs with Lawson at such a young age, because obviously he was your first.
Yeah.
You didn't have it around you and it wasn't kind of the talk of the talk now. It's like it's very more accepting now. I think 18 years ago, I think it wasn't.
It was totally.
So when did you start seeing signs? Did you notice when you were playing when you were out with your friends and with your children that
they saw signs earlier than I did, the professionals? Yeah. I guess I was very lucky because they were just very good teachers, basically, that loved him because he was great and said, he's just a bit different and this is something not right, which you don't often get. They just ignore kids. Yeah. If a child's not demolishing the room, they go unrecognised. Yeah. So actually,
or if they are, they're just being naughty.
They've been naughty. So I was very lucky. Did I start noticing a difference? He had Duane syndrome. Both my kids have Duane syndrome, where they got no peripheral vision and their left eye doesn't move off centre. And that's a muscle thing. So there were little things, pieces of puzzles with the swallowing that added up.
So is it ELOS that he's got with the swallowing?
He just basically, his muscle didn't work here. Doesn't normally correct. He was like a miracle child.
Wow. So was he chew fed at the beginning?
We had to swallow.
Make it solid.
Make it solid.
Wow.
Feed him his bottle with a spoon. But again, it's all muscle, isn't it? Whereas he walked, he had to have physiotherapy, but nothing too bad. This little piece of puzzles fitted together. Yeah. When did we notice? I think it was much later on because I wasn't in denial. I was just a bit like, he's happy.
Yeah.
So what? And then it was like all the friendship thing. That's when I really picked up on it because he couldn't form friendships.
He couldn't form them, or people didn't want to be his friend.
Because when you're in nursery, they don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
He just didn't integrate with other kids. And he sat on his own, and he then took himself out of situations because he couldn't cope with it.
Okay.
Which was good because you want them to take themselves out of situations when they can't cope. That's what you try and teach them, to remove yourself. But it was sad because actually they're running around the playground, but it was too much for him, too oversensory.
Yeah.
So he'd sit in the classroom. So that's when I was like, yeah, there's something definitely. And then I agreed for them to do the autism test when he was 7. And
So when you first went through CAMS and they said it's clearly evident that he has ADHD and obviously he had his other like medical issues, they didn't really pick up with the autism?
No, they did.
They did, but it was, you got the actual assessment and the confirmed diagnosis.
Yes, because back then they didn't really do the full assessment until they're older. And they also said, I was like, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Why do I need to know if he's autistic? It didn't click what was going to happen in the future. I didn't understand that I had to change my life for my child at that point. So why do I need to know?
And I still struggle with that, really. I still struggle with the fact that some days I still try and parent her like she's a typical child, whereas actually she's not. No. And I struggle with that, to change the way I parent.
I struggled massively because I've got ADHD and didn't know it back then. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 40. I'm 46, but I recognised a lot of myself in Lawson. Yeah. The thing is that my husband, luckily, is very, very... not very autistic. Sorry, I've not diagnosed him. He's not autistic. He's very organised.
Yeah.
So we were told... there was also something called PALMS. I don't know if it's still around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So PALMS had just started. And they were amazing. So they used to come round to our house and hide in my daughter's bedroom to hear Lawson's meltdowns in the morning.
Wow.
It was amazing. He didn't have a clue they were there.
But actually, gives me goosebumps, that. Yeah.
And they needed to see it. Yeah. Like, you know, because he'd go in there as... maybe your daughter would go in and mask it and just sit there like quietly. Whereas even though you video things, you try and get it on video, they came and saw it and they were like,
So what really brought on his meltdowns?
knowing that he was different and couldn't cope. He couldn't cope with being in the mainstream school.
Could he verbalise? I know you said he was always verbal, but could he communicate that?
No. So his communication was
the meltdown.
Yeah. Which
is so tough because you just don't know what to do and how to act.
You can't calm. And however much you get taught, you have to cuddle them.
Yeah.
You have to sit behind them. You have to stay calm. Try
when you're
calm.
In that state.
Yeah. It is horrendous and you can't explain it to anybody unless you're there. And it's really soul destroying.
It's just horrific.
In every way, it's soul destroying.
Yeah.
For you, for him, for your life, for your family.
And that's what I felt sad about. And I still feel sad. He's amazing and we'll go into him now.
Of course.
But I wouldn't change anything for myself. I'll change it for him.
Mm. Yeah, that's how I feel as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though Bailey isn't aware of what's going on in the world, so she doesn't actually know what she's missing.
I do.
I know what she's missing, and I've said it before. It's like she's missing out on having the most amazing siblings. She's missing out on really knowing her mummy and daddy like my other kids know them.
She does know you.
She knows me, and 100%. She knows that I'm a constant. Mm. I don't know if she grasps that what a mummy and a daddy actually are.
Do you know what? It's really funny you should say that, because I remember the day, I mean, my brain at the moment, I think it was, he was 9, or was he 10? He could have been 10, actually. He was at a special school. And the first time he told me he loved me, we were sitting watching TV. I mean, literally, it was the most, I think it was the best day of my life, actually. We're sitting there and he sat next to me and he'd obviously been learning about it at school. We had a lot of therapy and he put his hand on my lap and he went, "Love you, mummy."
That's all I want to hear.
Yeah, I know. And it's tough.
And how many times does he say it now?
Every day, every phone call, every message, every text. It's about 100 times.
So it's like, I know you love me.
Because I think it's become his thing, and I love it.
He's affectionate, isn't he?
This is the thing, though. When
me. Only to me.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend.
Hopes for us, for our future. Mm. Okay, so let's rewind a bit when it comes to schooling. So he went to a mainstream primary school, because you just mentioned specialist school. Mm. So when did that change what was the process? Was it you as a parent that made the decision, or was it the school? Or
school was amazing. The school had mentioned to us that they don't think he would survive a mainstream school.
And what year was he when they said this?
He was year 4.
Okay.
And both myself and Mason, my husband, were sitting there and we went, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. It was alien to us.
Did he have a one-to-one during this from
reception onwards?
They actually
had a hub there.
Okay.
Had the most amazing hub. So he was in the hub. So he was in like a little group every day. His learning difficulties are severe, which also doesn't help.
Yeah.
And when he went on medication, I had a lot of people saying, "Oh, he'll go on meds and he'll be able to learn because his brain." Well, we realised he had more difficulties once he went on meds.
So he's basically
hear
got,
this as well.
He's basically got global delay.
Global delay, but now...
It was...
But was it though? Because he was always
No, it wasn't. It was a delay. He is
a learning.
It's a learning difficulty and a learning delay, and there is always a delay in autism.
Yeah,
and even ADHD, it's immaturity, and so yes, there's always a delay. But
that's why I hate that word delay.
Yeah,
because they don't catch up.
They don't catch up, but they catch up to their own. They become their own person.
Yes, and with their special interests.
And he now is unbelievable, and. So he's himself. It doesn't matter what age, mentally, or he's himself and he's doing amazing. And I think we're all a little bit delayed. I mean, I've got ADHD and I've got dyslexia and I run a, thank God, successful business that I never thought I'd be able to do because I got no GCSEs. And so I think we have our own delays.
I think it's when you're
people.
So passionate about something
and
you thrive
at it when you're autistic.
But this is why when it comes to schooling and especially being parents of SEND children, I've always had that mindset. I don't care if she gets any GCSEs. No. Let her focus on what she's interested in, whatever it is, 100%. And let her be the best at that.
Yeah.
And I feel like we all need to accept that. They may not, some autistic people may get 20 GCSEs. They may be incredibly bright, but I think we need to accept as parents of children that are autistic or have delays. They will find their path.
100%. Do they?
Yeah, they do.
I know that I'm really, really far at the beginning, but she has no interests, none.
I don't
the TV.
Think, yeah, but she she's
Three.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay because she will hyper-focus on something at some point. And everyone's different. I can't tell what her future will be. But
of course,
for Lawson, he found his he's found, finding his path. So he got signed off school when he was eight. And then they agreed that he needed a special school. But there's nothing in between a low-functioning school and a mainstream.
Yeah.
It is nearly impossible to find. And we went and visited schools and children with autism copy behaviours. So we'd go and see a low-functioning school, which are amazing if your child fit into that category cognitively because they cater for everything. But there were kids having meltdowns in the corner of the room and I was like, I can't send him there. He needs to be with children with cognitive ability, same as him.
Yeah. This was exactly
what you say.
Which is very, very difficult. So trying to find that school, then my husband spoke to somebody and he had recommended this school that his nephew had gone to and we went to see it. And it's a very expensive private SEN school. It's a special educational needs school.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do. We're like, what do we do? Do we fight the authority? Do we send him there? So we sent him there because he was signed for school. He's at home. I mean, I couldn't cope with it. Yeah. He couldn't cope with it. And we went through a year legal battle whilst he was at the school. And
were you paying for it?
We were paying for it.
Wow.
And I'm paying for the legal battle as well. And the stress on the family, and it was hard. And he basically, the solicitor was one of the top educational solicitors, and he had said to us, you're playing a bit of a hard game here because they may say, well, you can afford it.
Yeah.
And people would say to me, well, why are you fighting the local authority if you can afford it? And I was like,
why should you have to pay?
Number one, but you never know your circumstances.
But forget it, even if you had all the money in the world, why should you have to pay?
But also, you can't, it's not like saying, you know, we haven't got any money, we're going to take our child out of a private school, which is hard enough. How can you remove a child from a special education needs school?
When they need it.
You need to secure, I need to secure his place.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I can tell you the story. It's quite an amazing story, but at this year legal battle, and he'd gone to the school and he made friends for the first time. And it was amazing. Came on leaps and bounds, had the most amazing therapy. And then about 2 weeks prior to him us going to tribunal, they wanted to have him educationally assessed again. And I said, that's fine, but you're not doing it without me present. And they said, well, you can't be. I said, no, I'm sorry. He's 8 years old. I'm going to be present. And we sat there and he actually was running around in the little playground with two of his friends who he's still friendly with.
Oh, still today.
Still today. That's he's amazing. Only two friends, but lovely. And the woman sat there and I'm showing her all the videos of his meltdowns and all the reports and everything. And I said, are you a parent? And she said, yes. I said, okay, can you look at him now? I said, now look at this. I said, can you sit in tribunal? Take that away from him. And then a week later, it was April the 14th, I get a phone call from my sister saying, are you sitting down? I said, well, he goes, they've just basically given in. And they paid for 80% of it, and then we had to pay for trouble. But that
fantastic.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah, same.
I actually was, wow.
It just shows, and people say it all the time, you have to fight. You can't sit back.
It is a battle every step of the way.
Yeah.
And now I'm about to start it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she starts school next September.
Yes.
Yeah. So everyone's told me that I need to basically start my EHCP. So I've actually employed the Send Mummies.
Yes, I've watched that. That amazing.
Came in, that have come in.
We didn't have that.
No.
And that is...
Must have been so hard for you 18 years ago.
I mean, luckily for Mason, he's got the brains and he's... Because I mean, when they said to me all the advice and you'll be told this and you probably have already been told this about having plans like schedules for them and being organised, and every time we went on holiday or out for the day, I had to show him pictures and make, like Mason used to sit there and make him like a catalogue of where we were going on holiday and all the pictures and everything.
Wow.
And I was like, I can't even put a thing up on the wall. I'm so dyslexic. I couldn't even, I was like, what are you talking about? What's organisation? So it was tough.
See, now it's changed kind of in the way of that they're more advanced in the fact that we now have pet cards, whereas Mason would have obviously made something for him to look. Now you can actually buy and personalise your own pet cards to show the children.
So it's come on.
Yeah.
Not that it makes it any easier mentally for you guys, but if you can have things put
in
place.
But the resources are more there.
Yeah.
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 Which we didn't have.
No. 18. So not that I'm sure you'd want to go into detail, but you said at 8 something happened in order for him to go to a specialist. Was that more him as a person that went through his own battles, or was it the school just couldn't manage his needs?
Him as a person. They were amazing.
So it was you as a parent that made the decision to leave mainstream?
We didn't have a choice because he had a mental breakdown, a severe mental breakdown.
Okay.
So it was
the right thing.
Yeah, we had nothing we could do. We couldn't send him back there.
And how long was he off school for before he started his special school?
Felt like forever, but it was it wasn't. Probably a few months because we'd got him straight into...
And how was that routine-wise? Because I know a lot of autistic children love a routine, and when that's taken away, that's even harder, as I've realised over this Christmas break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Christmas was my worst. Oh, my God. I still feel... In fact, this Christmas, he was working, and I still felt... We went away for a few days, and I thought, oh, my God, I still had that... I can't explain that feeling.
Trauma.
Oh my God. Those Christmases where the weather's cold, you can't go outside to play. They've got no friends. You've got nothing to do. Yep. That overwhelming panic of, oh my God, how am I going to cope?
Hours a day.
Every weekend. It's horrendous. Yeah. Like
everyone says to me, oh, I can't wait for the Christmas break. Like, I don't have to rush. My children are at home.
Yeah.
It's not a break for me. A break for me is when my children are at school or nursery.
Yeah. As it is for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, even the chaos that we both had this morning with our children to now be here feels like such a break because it can be so challenging.
I mean, that part gets better.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, my daughter's at college, Lawson's at work.
Wow.
My dog was the only pain this morning.
That's amazing.
Literally. But that bit does get easier.
So, yeah, again, I don't know how much you want to discuss, but I feel like as SEND parents, especially having a child first with a diagnosis of something... And I can relate to this myself. I was so worried about having baby number two, even though I always wanted Callie to have a sibling, because I was so worried that I'll be going through the same journey again.
What's your age gap?
2 years, 4 months.
Okay.
Quite mad.
Well, I've got two years.
Oh, you've got 2 years. Two years. Okay, exactly. So you feel me?
I do feel you, but I didn't, at two, I didn't, you didn't. Know, because he's verbal. I didn't actually, besides his swallowing, I didn't think there was, he just didn't sleep till he was seven. Till he was on meds, he was up 13, 14, 15 times a night. That was the only thing. So when I fell pregnant, I was like, it's great. Let's have a baby whilst my toddler's not sleeping.
Because you're going to be awake anyway.
Because he'll be sleeping soon. Well, little did I know, she slept at 3 weeks and he didn't sleep till he was seven. Yeah. That was really difficult.
But at 2 years old, when you fell pregnant with your second, you didn't actually know the extent of what Lawson, you just thought he might have had swallowing issues. You didn't know there was any autism there. So I suppose in that sense, it's different because you knew... Callie was autistic, so...
Yeah, she had a regression at 18 months, so I knew, and then I fell pregnant at, like, 20, 21 months. Yeah. And it was the risk I was happy to take, but, I mean, even when we had the baby shower, because I didn't have one with Callie because we were in lockdown, I thought, you know what, I'm having a baby shower.
Yeah.
And and we had all the cannons and the balloons and everything was blue. I read a statistic that if you have a daughter that's autistic first and then you have a son,
God, give me goosebumps.
It's like 70% or 80% that your second child will have needs. And although I looked so happy, it was one of the worst moments. I know it's awful to say it was one of the worst moments of my life. And everybody was celebrating and I was just, makes me sad because I'm so worried. And I do have my battles with him. He's different to her. He's hard bloody work. Really? He is hard work. So, and I know that there's so many other parents that feel the same to the point that they haven't had any other children because they just physically wouldn't mentally be able to cope. And there are such pros and cons to it. Oh, my God. I mean, they play together now.
So do I. I think you're a superhero.
Yeah, you are amazing.
Thank you. It wasn't our choice. But
no, but as Hayley's, as you said to us before, about with the chosen ones.
We are, I know you, and you instantly said, oh, I don't want to hear that because you're at that stage. And it does upset me a lot on a daily basis. I mean,
does it still?
Yeah.
And he's 18.
Yeah, it does. But as I said before, I genuinely believe we're giving these special kids and they're so lovely.
I know.
They are the best human beings in the whole entire
world.
They
really, really are. Don't get me wrong, I love my daughter.
Does she have needs then?
No, she's okay. Yeah, she's amazing.
So you have a non-typical and a typical child.
Yes. Yeah. And she finds it hard. And I won't talk about it because she's 16. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she finds it very difficult. She wants a brother she can mm-hmm. have a relationship mm-hmm. with.
And I just want to say before, obviously, mm. we go on any further, that you did speak to your son, who's 18, Lawson, to get his consent.
Yeah, I did.
He didn't mind, yeah, which no, I think is amazing.
I don't... He doesn't talk about it.
No.
He doesn't tell people, which is his decision. Yeah. This is actually not my story to tell anymore. It's his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he said it's fine.
He can come on whenever he wants.
Yeah, we'd love that. Yeah. No, I actually did ask him. He's like, yeah. No. But
I also feel like it's a good thing to say to anyone that listens to and anyone that's listened to any other previous podcast yeah. that these are our stories and our journeys.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean
it's
that
yours.
Anything that you say about Lawson being yeah. 18 means that, please God, our children will be the same way or they won't be the same way. It's our journey, 100%. Our stories.
Everyone's different.
And everyone's 100%.
That's what I find even harder. Mm.
Yeah, because you've got no path to follow. You no, don't, and you've don't got, know what you're...
You, yeah, and it's yeah. like, you, as much as you've got your sem mummies around you, and I think that's really important, yeah. you're still not on the same journey.
No.
You might have the same diagnosis, but it's not the same... path, it's not the same.
You almost want to be told this is going to happen, this yeah. is going to happen, and you can't.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. And
well,
even
we
if you
said
are
yes
warned,
to that, but the boys said yeah. no. Interesting. Our husband said no. They wouldn't want to want. See their future and the path of
I think
their journeys.
I think watching your husbands, they've been amazing. I saw the podcast, amazing. Mason is the most amazing dad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's yeah. amazing.
He's unbelievable.
But it was very hard for him, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, to. It was hard for him to... accept. Mm-hmm. I think harder than a mum. Mm-hmm. I think we have battles in our head, but we're mums. It's yeah. very, it's a very different thing. We're much more nurturing. I think men struggle.
And I think also maybe for Mason and for most men, it's their son. It's their
yeah.
boy.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, daughters, you have another daughter.
Yeah.
You don't have another daughter. So, and I get that too. It's all just shit.
Yeah.
Fucking shit. But then you say that and I totally agree because I just... when I go to friends' houses and they go on play dates and then Callie's just sitting on her own and doing her own thing, it's so difficult to watch. But then I posted something last night of both my babies in the bath having a conversation.
Well, actually, it's funny you say it because Lawson and Kobe, my kids, played amazingly because he always had that bit of delay.
Yeah.
They played
yeah.
hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And it was the most amazing.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, they don't really have much of a relationship, which is very hard.
So she's at university.
She's at college.
She's at college. And Lawson's working.
Yes.
What does he do? Tell
well,
us.
He's just completed his first year chef's apprenticeship at the Grove with distinction.
It's unbelievable.
My goodness
Hayley.
Me.
After having no GCSEs, no qualifications.
Did he take his GCSEs?
He took. Well, he did take them.
Are they equivalent to at a specialist school or were
they
GCSEs?
Were GCSEs.
Wow.
Foundation level.
Fantastic.
Actually, I lie. He got maths in the end.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but he, but cooking was his passion. I think he liked Gordon Ramsay the way he swore. I think that
yeah.
definitely.
Well, he's definitely ADHD himself, isn't he? Yeah,
loads of chefs are.
Yeah, I'm not
yeah.
surprised they need
yeah,
to. They're
creative.
On
creative.
Yeah, they're creative.
And on the go the whole time.
Exactly.
And manic.
Exactly.
You know, the hours that he does, I don't know how he copes, but he's found his thing. I'm so appreciative because a lot of his peers in his special school. Don't know where they want to go. No qualifications, no path. No, it's very difficult. So I'm very appreciative
yeah.
of that. It's amazing.
And you trusted. You trusted his special, like what he was interested in,
yeah.
his special interest.
Yeah, we just helped him, and he had an interview, and he got the job. So,
and how did he feel about going to an interview and having to? I mean, is it like what's an interview like? Being a chef.
I went with him. We sat there. He said, "Mom, do you want to come with?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh." It's like, yeah, of course. And he was actually really good. He'd had a lot of training with school, how to talk, whatever, and he did amazing. And they could see his passion.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all they want to see, especially in that industry. They want to see your passion.
Yeah.
And he had the passion. And autistic kids hyperfocus.
Yeah.
ADHD people hyperfocus.
Did they know? Do they know that he's
yes,
autistic
because
and ADHD?
It came through the apprenticeship team, so they did. But he doesn't tell anyone at work. I think he said a few times, "I hope I'm not speaking out of turn." Oh, they say I'm special, but he says it.
But he is
so
special.
Literal. He is special.
He is special.
But they're so literal, aren't they?
Yeah. What's on their lungs?
So
what's
literal.
On their tongue.
Do you want to know how literal Callie was the other day? We went to a garden centre. There was a man behind the till that had hair longer than me, and I just knew it.
Oh God! Oh, you.
And
cringe.
She went up and she went, "Are you a girl or a boy?" And I said, "Callie, it's a boy, and he's got lovely long hair," because I knew she was referring to that. Oh, no. Boys. Girls have long hair, not boys. I was like, thank you, bye.
Oh my God.
So it's yeah. happening, which is fine because yes. I'm so pleased and thankful that it's got there. Yeah.
And the fact that she's recognising things like that.
Yeah, yeah. But again, we still live in that stereotypical world.
Oh, they're just so, and they just say things and you're like, oh God, please.
I know.
Please don't.
I have friends over. I don't like you. I'm like, oh, yeah. She loves you really.
So when she says, mummy doesn't like you, your problem.
She's at that age now. Yeah, that's why I have to be very careful. But she's at that age now where, you know, when they're like three and they're like, Callie's mummy, so-and-so's doing something wrong and snitching. She's five and a half and she's snitching. It's so embarrassing.
Yes, she's not five and a half.
Lawson used to be the snitch.
I know.
Lawson used to be the snitch. He used to be so like, if you wronged him or did something wrong, I'd be like, you can't grasp on him. You can't tell, but you can't get through to them. They just want to be honest. They just want to.
Have you stopped apologising for them, for him?
I don't want him to get upset about this, but no, I still feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's boundary issues and, you know, it's, but I'm not with him as much as I used to be.
So is he still medicated?
Yes, very much so.
And when he started the medication at seven, did you see a difference? Because I know you mentioned before.
The first day, I picture it now. There's so many things I remember. First day he went on medication, you lose your appetite.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not eating. And then he said, mummy, I'm hungry. So it was like a few hours down the line. I was like, great. Sat him at the table.
What you want.
Yeah, like, read the fridge. Sat at the table. He doesn't hold a knife and fork right now, but he held a knife and fork. It's almost like something like.
Switched.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, you're holding a knife and fork. It was the weirdest thing. he just could concentrate to do it. Yeah, it definitely made a difference. But then he had to go on different medication. He had his breakdown. He's still on that. I'm nervous to take him off it.
Yeah, I get that.
But does he have to come off them?
He may not need that anymore. I just think don't break what's not broken.
But it's kind of, because he's 18, it's kind of up to him, isn't it? I suppose, if he wants to or not.
He went through a period of time where he didn't want to take his meds. Yeah. We had a very dark time a few years ago. He got let down by someone at school and the school let him down and he went into a dark place again. Then he ran off and he got in with a very bad crowd.
This is when we were. So for people that don't know, Hayley and I used to live next door to each other.
Yeah.
So I moved in a few years ago. I think I lived there for about 3-4 years and we moved out a couple of years ago. So
and he was probably,
how old was he when we?
So he'd just got over his worst.
Yeah.
But I want to put out there that you were, and I said this before, didn't I? You were unbelievable. We had neighbours beforehand that we used to knock on the wall and used to walk up to our front drive. I mean, knock on our window in the living room.
If he was making noise.
If he was making noise or... And the thing is, the weirdest thing is with Lawson, I don't know about your girls, that when he's happy, quiet as anything.
See, when
plays beautiful. Oh, she makes her noises.
She makes the noises and stims when she's happy.
Yeah. But even if he, you know, did whatever, he wasn't having a meltdown. He was just a lovely, calm child. Getting on with it. When he had his meltdowns, it was a different story, but they used to be vile. And then you moved in and I used to message you in the morning going, I'm so sorry about last night. And you were amazing.
Stop saying sorry. But this was fine. This was way before Bailey. I just had Blake.
Yes, you literally had.
Yeah.
You were unbelievable. Like, don't be silly.
But it's how most people, how we all should be.
Yeah,
and you were just obviously really unfortunate. I mean, I apologise to my neighbours all the time.
Yeah.
And I told them, don't worry, we've got a niece that's autistic or something. And people just get it.
Because the meltdowns are just awful.
You
can't explain it. And I feel like even now, sometimes when I'm talking to someone that hasn't actually witnessed it, I show them videos.
They think it's just tantrums, a lot of people.
Oh, my child is a tantrum.
Yeah.
Well, your child doesn't sit in the middle of Hampstead on Christmas Fair, which we shouldn't have taken him to, having a meltdown for 2 hours and can't move him, or banging his head against the wall for an hour.
Yeah.
Or
did the meltdown stop?
They did. They'd stopped because of medication. They stopped because he was in the right
environment.
And they stopped because I built a sensory bed.
I remember that bed.
Which he'll be really embarrassed to hear. He's still in bed. He doesn't use it, but we're knocking it down now. He's finally given in to
it. It was like a bunk bed, wasn't it?
It was in a cupboard.
Yeah.
With padding.
Yeah. And no, it had lights. It's got lights on the ceiling. Okay. And it just, I used to put him in there. he then put himself in there.
Yeah.
So it was like a real calm.
His safe
space. So certain things helped him to calm down, but yeah, that they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Kelly have a lot of meltdowns?
They are not 6 hours like you. She's never had hours of meltdowns. I'll say Marley has longer meltdowns than Callie. She's now displaying more of anxiety than like anger and stress.
So that's
next
girls,
step.
Girls do show differently though to boys, they say.
They do, but I do think it's age and I do think it's how aware they are. And I think it can get worse. And I think for us, for you, fortunate or not fortunate, you've learned at a young age and you're putting things in place. I had nothing in place,
I
really.
I think it's becoming more anxiety now with Callie because she's more aware.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's more aware that maybe she is a little bit different and that why her friendships are maybe different.
And that's what builds up.
And that's why I'm not saying no to a specialist school, because that's when I think in year three, year four, she's really going to find... Because you know.
Yeah, I've got goosebumps. Because you know what? Recognising it, I see children... And I'm not telling people how to parent. I'm not a perfect parent, any stretch of the imagination. But
you are
the
pretty
one
good,
thing,
though.
As are you, the one thing that I really truly believe is do it for your child.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, no, they can be.
No
the
way.
Best thing we ever did was to put him into a special school because it was right for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about us.
No.
It's not about the stigma. It's not about what people think. You've got to think about your child. And for you saying that is unbelievable because there's many a parent that will be like, I'm going to keep them in a mainstream school.
That's
my
husband.
School, you've got to work around them, and it doesn't work like that.
No, agreed. But
he wants them
not
to fit in.
Yeah, he does.
And I think it's more important that they fit in to where they need to be,
100%,
not who you want them to be.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm not even looking at mainstream for Bailey because I would be. What for?
Yeah,
she needs a specialist school.
It. I mean, you've got.
I've got two typical children.
And
my son's been diagnosed with ADHD.
Well, I mean, I haven't.
Yeah.
You know,
so he's medicated. And more things are really coming to play as he gets older.
Yes.
I'm really recognising
this is what
stuff.
This is what I've been told, interestingly, for you to know. When you put your child on medication...
The autism
comes out and other things come out to play.
Yeah, we had that exact same thing.
And that's my scare, because Callie's both.
Yeah.
She hasn't been diagnosed ADHD, but the paediatrician said, I can't let you leave the room and not tell you that she is.
Yeah.
And she needs to be medicated. Yeah. But I'm so worried that she will become, I know this sounds awful to say, but would become more autistic.
Yes. Because it does take away the... manicness, so therefore mm-hmm. you notice when they're calm, you notice their awkwardness,
mm-hmm.
their eye contact,
their quirkiness.
Yeah.
My son's OCD has just gone off the scale.
And that's
lately.
Anxiety based as well, probably because he may not be able to deal with. And actually, it's funny you should say that since he's been on meds.
Yeah.
So I have got tics and they come out more when I'm on meds, but then I need to take my meds.
Well, it must be because it's suppressing the other stuff, I suppose. It's bringing out more, or you're
so ADHD's got to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
So mine will come out with
your tics.
And some people come out with their OCD. And so, whereas if I'm not on meds, I'm not as ticky.
Ticky.
I guess ticky. Because I'm like manic and I'll, you know. So yeah, it's just a battlefield.
They do definitely help, but then there's other things that can come with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they do need, but
they'll
people
help
need to be on them.
Boundaries a bit more is what they need because they've got no boundaries.
Yeah.
So with the meds, it just gives them a little bit of boundary.
Yeah.
Anything to be socially acceptable, basically.
What advice could you give us as mummies of young children that are starting their journey, or going through the early stages of the journey? What advice could you give to us?
The only advice I could give you is just to be true to yourselves and talk about it and understand that you're doing the right thing by helping them, not ignoring it. Just getting as much help as you can. Listen to anyone and everyone, because even though everyone's story is very different, there's going to be something that will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk about it
do it for them.
Yeah, do it for
it's
them.
Not about us.
Yeah. However hard it is, just do it for them.
It sucks.
They need you.
It literally sucks, though.
It breaks
it sucks
my heart.
Because
it's
the unknown.
Yeah.
But even though you're 18 years down the line, how would you say that your family of four are now? Would you say that you... do whatever you want to do, don't hold back, accept. Like, is that where you are now?
Yeah, because actually I was watching one of your podcasts and you were saying that you don't take them places, and we did adapt our life for him.
Yeah.
But we've been on the most amazing holidays. We've travelled a lot.
Wow.
And we do it because, keeping him around a pool doing nothing was a nightmare.
Yeah.
But we prepare him. So we do a lot of travelling. We're great. It's amazing. You know, whether they have a relationship or not, my two kids, hopefully one day they will. But I think there's a lot of siblings out there that don't at this
also
age.
Also,
it's
age,
though.
And it's their age.
Exactly. And they're boy and girl. Us as a couple have been through so much, as you will. Yeah. But thank God we're so strong, and you have to be strong.
You are really strong.
The percentage of people that last.
Yeah, I got the stat wrong.
Oh, you did?
My husband is definitely ADHD, and I said it was 97% rate that
divorce.
Yes.
What is it?
It's quite high.
It's 87. Oh, which is still incredibly high.
It's
not I know, but I got turned
off.
It's like it's 87, not 97.
You know what, work
I get that. Yeah, I understand
it's
that.
Really hard.
I mean the stress and the strain that it puts
just
on your relationship.
When you get to 20 years married.
Yeah. I'm coming up to 10.
Does it come back? Yeah. Does it come back?
Yeah, it does. Oh my God, it's amazing. It's amazing because I just look at us and think, oh my God, what have we been through? We're so amazing. So yeah, it does. It's very difficult for a long period of time, but it does come back.
It's worth the fight.
It's worth the fight.
No, it's really, really reassuring to hear that.
Yeah, and like friendships and girlfriends, boyfriends, how's Lawson with that?
So he's got
today?
A girlfriend.
That's amazing. And is she,
she's
knows everything?
I mean, she's the most forgiving person. honestly, it takes a special person to be the special person.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful for her. He has a couple of friends that he had from school that he sees occasionally, and he's building friendships at work.
Okay.
Which is good, but we've come so far.
Would you say he's happy and content with life today?
I would say he is. Yeah, I think he notices and things get him down as any child. But yes, he's definitely.
I think 18 is a really hard age regardless.
Yes. Mm. He'd like to drive.
Will he be able to drive?
Yes, well, he's failed 9 theories. He'll kill me for saying that.
That's all right. I failed 5 tests. It's okay. Lawson, you'll get there.
I failed 6 theories.
Did you?
Yeah.
Makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
I didn't have to take it. Thank God I didn't have to take it. But I would never be driving.
But I've heard the theories are a lot harder now.
Yeah, they are. And where do you see his future? Do you see his future living out of his mum and dad's house?
Yeah,
living in his own place?
Never, ever, ever thought I would say
really?
That.
Wow.
Yes, I never thought I'd say that, but I really, really do. Yeah. He has to stay on meds.
Yeah, that's okay.
And there's other, addictions, things that are coming all the time that I've got to keep on top of.
So you'll be there probably a bit more than the typical parent.
He asks me and tells me everything.
That's
amazing.
And if
he carries on doing that, if you live out of the house, it's absolutely fine. Phone me 100 times a day, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just keep asking me.
I don't know what it is. And maybe it's because I'm so far down, not down the line as you guys.
At the beginning.
But I just don't see it. And that's why I kind of want to know my future, because I can't see past what I'm at the moment.
Because when they're nonverbal, it is a whole different thing,
and she might be nonverbal forever.
And I just don't know.
It's the communication as well. It's the understanding. She has no understanding of what is going on. If I say to her, "Come, Bailey, come," she's actually started to understand, but not like sometimes she will come, sometimes she won't, and I don't know whether that's just fluke or because I've got something she wants. But there's just no understanding of life. Whereas I feel with Callie, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there wasn't, but at three, I'm
telling you, I know apart from the nonverbal, if you told her to come somewhere or do something, she wouldn't. I can't even tell you what 2 years.
Age.
No,
either.
She's still so young, and I know that. If I said
it's,
to Mark.
It's weird because I know you're both telling me the truth, but I don't believe you.
I know you don't.
But I was called into nursery and to school because he didn't recognise his name.
Yeah,
and he couldn't go to the table and pick up his name.
No. Or pick up a pencil.
Colours or write.
She does nothing. No. She won't pick up a pen. She won't pick up a fork. We're struggling with food massively at the moment.
Is she sensory?
She's not a sensory seeker. She hates the bubbles. She hates the lights.
Callie was the same until recently, and now literally pour her into a paint pot and she will swim in it.
I just think I haven't found that thing yet that she loves to do that I would do with her every day if
but
I had to.
But you need to just give yourself a bit of a break.
No, she doesn't play. She used to.
Does she abuse herself?
Yes.
Take that as an amazing thing.
Just give yourself a bit of a break.
Exactly.
Like, let her find her thing and you will find it too, and then you'll work on it together. Stop looking for it. You're doing everything you can for her now.
for her to be able to amuse herself is amazing. And they do that autistic because they amuse themselves and you just need to let her.
I know. I just find it so hard not to compare.
Yeah, and accepting.
Compare.
I can't compare. Even with the autism. Like, obviously, I know I can't compare her to a typical child, but because I know I can't, I'm now trying to compare her to an autistic child.
And you can't compare.
And I can't do that either. And I don't know. I really feel like I'm usually a girl half full glass, but.
We get not. Do you know what? It's
January.
Me. I'm very like you. I'm it's very. January. I actually met you this morning and said I feel like I want to cry.
Yeah.
And yes, it's hormones of 46, lack of sleep as well. No, it's because it is a struggle every day, and I'm a very half glass full. I'm very positive with everything, but some days I just think I just get sad. I just
can't do it. Can't get sad. Up.
I do, and I've never thought I can't get up. I'm not like that, but it's. It's more like just want him to go to work, just know that he's okay.
Yeah.
And I just know my daughter's gone to college okay.
Yeah.
I want him to go and I just want to know that he's going to have a good day, that he's not going to be taken advantage of or...
I know. That's what I said to you. So I put on my stories. Yeah. I can't believe the kids are back at school. I miss them because they're not in my control. Mm. She replies straight away, liar. And I was like...
Yeah, no one ever said.
But yes, I'm loving the break, but at the same time as you said... Is anyone being nasty to her? Yeah. Is she being looked after? Has she gone to the toilet okay? Yeah. Her hands washed? Anything
because
like
you're putting
that.
Your trust into other people.
And it's the control
and
thing.
And when do you get that anticipation? I used to pick him up every day thinking, oh my God, what's his day going to be like?
Or can I have a word? And I'm like,
I would love that. I mean, all I get is, she had a lovely day. Because she can't tell them what she wants or what she's liked or what she hasn't liked.
Just for now, and I know it's easier said than done, enjoy her. She's the happiest little girl. She's smiling, she's laughing, she's doing her thing.
Yeah.
Yes, there's challenges and struggles, but overall, she's not so difficult. She's just in Bailey's world, and I think that's what's difficult. Yeah. So embrace her.
I am, and I adore her. I absolutely adore her. I love the bones of her. Mm. I'm just sad.
I don't, and when you said before, just going back quickly to you don't know her, don't think we do know them for a very long time. And I definitely know Lawson now. I know him better than anyone. And I know his moves and I know what he's going to say. And I know when he's had a bad day at work without him even saying it. You do get to know them. It's very early days.
And that is really, really helpful.
Very reassuring.
And reassuring.
And this is why we've asked you to come on because you are 18 years down the line. And
got the wrinkles.
You look amazing. You really look amazing. I just think that you have really helped parents like ours that are in our position, knowing that you've been truthful. There's ups, there's downs, there's big challenges.
Absolutely.
That there's, the right path and success. And that's what we needed to hear. So thank you so
and
much.
And I do feel like, feel like there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
There definitely is.
And speaking to you and hearing where you were and where he was and where he is now is unbelievable. So it does give me It does give me a lot of hope.
Any disability I've been through with him at school with other, more severe, and they've all got to a place, whether they've found their...
Yeah.
Thing or not, they've all got to a place of being able to cope with
and where they need to be, where they should be.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll get there.
Yeah,
I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.